Okay.
Recording? Great. All right. So, good. A few announcements to get going. We are not meeting next week, number one. So, you know, normally first Wednesday, but we'd moved things. So the July 3rd meeting is not happening. I want to remind everybody of that. Our next meeting is going to be Wednesday, July 31st. Again, that's kind of irregular, moves up the normal August meeting. So again, Wednesday, July 31st, 10 a.m. Agenda is totally what you'd expect, which is we'll talk through comments received on Report 36. I will also put on the agenda the new draft report or reports that we hope to have out by then. For sure, it will be drug offenses. It may also be weapon offenses. Not quite sure how, when we get those out and the back deadlines for that. It'll be at least 4 weeks for each of those. It may be, again, that we put them out together or in a slightly staggered manner, and then give like a bigger chunk of time. I know, you know, August is hard for everybody to, you know.
This has been challenging.
Yes, this is hopefully about as challenging as it gets. I'm just saying. Fair enough. We will continue to challenge, but hopefully not break anybody. those will be the new reports. Will be on controlled substance offenses and firearm offenses, and again, for sure. Drug offenses will be going out, and a couple days probably after the this round of comments comes back. Weapons may go with that. It may be a little bit later. We may stagger them. Still a little unsure about that. But that will also then be on the agenda for the July meeting as well. Wanted to note, I put this in an email, but flag that I'm going to be on kind of partial leave the early weeks of July. I'll be checking my email, so I'm quasi accessible, but it might be a few days even until I'm kind of able to respond. While I'm away, it leaves a skeleton crew. Patrice and Janu will be available, and I'll send an email again just so make sure. They're normally copied anyway, so you have their emails. But if something comes up needs a quick response, please let them know. Let me think. I think that's it for kind of announcements. That's right. I wanted to turn to the agenda. This is the same agenda as last meeting, and we kind of ran its course there, and there may not be anything more to say. We had an additional, short follow-up from USAO on the attempt language, and sent that out. Appreciate sending that out, and we'll do our best. We plan to address that in this next round. In general, again, like things get. Difficult for us, internally and externally with deadlines. Going forward, we may not be able to incorporate any kind of late comments, right? This is a particular situation too with our general part and Michael's transition, but also in general, the deadlines are tough. So we'll try to address this. And going forward,
that's withdrawing a comment, essentially.
yeah. And look, I do want to also emphasize, the other part of this is that, all comments at all times are kind of good, right? Like, this is the competing thing, is right. We, all of the people here and the people who aren't here, we just got to do our best on this, right? And get as much out. And the more we can get in a record too that is preserved in a way that the council can pick it up again when there's a question, a year down the road, 2 years down the road, the better. So, in some sense, always comments good and always the sooner the better. But in terms of like how that fits in and how we're able to incorporate in the process, we may not always be able to handle that. So that's kind of the basic working norm. And so appreciate everybody's being thoughtful about that. And yeah, so I look, there's nothing more we specifically wanted to raise. Last time, you know, I think there were a couple questions in general about Report 36. But unless you all have something in particular to discuss with the group, we can call it a meeting and enjoy the cookies. Or, you know, we could also take a little bit of time if it's more helpful, too. I know, you know, sometimes there are, like, smaller matters that, like, somebody wants to address. We could also call it a meeting and still be, you know, like, have a little, couple follow-up questions on that.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But I frequently meet, as you know, with people for what to do to go over some questions that I have.
Sure.
So if we end early, there's one or two things that I just like.
Great. Your call whether you want to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with people sitting here, but some of it's like, did I understand this?
Sure.
Where did this come in? That kind of thing, which saves me a lot of time drafting memos and, you know, and commenting. There is one question I had, and maybe I just haven't gotten there yet. You have there's the offense of blocking a public way. Is there still going to be an offense of blocking a private way? So in other words, the current blocking statute, you know, would allow the police to make an arrest and for an offense for like somebody who continuously blocks a CVS entrance. And I might have not gotten there or not reviewed it recently. So I just wanted to flag that because the public way.
That's right.
I want to make sure I'm covering.
That's right. No, and I'll give a short response and then let Patrice handle if there's anything more to say on this. But so the blocking the public way, here's where it pulls up. It's 4203. And right, my recollection of this is that there was, the question is private, you know, kind of where this intersects with, you know.
Yeah, the entrance and exit is really where I was going to.
That's right.
Because if entrance and exit does.
That's right.
Does entrance and exit, how does that intersect with what is a public way?
That's right.
And I don't want to write a whole mess if, if there's a clarification.
So, right. So we left this basically, you know, there's the magic line, right? And if it's, you know, you're blocking the exit and you're on the private property, you got trespassing.
Yeah.
If you're blocking it just the other side on, you know, the sidewalk or the public way, then you're within this.
Then it does come under this event.
That's right.
Okay.
So is that fair summary?
Yes. And so I think that's at footnote 27 in the commentary. But
thank you. I might have glossed over that one.
It doesn't say entryway, so it might not have been as clear. But yes, that was the idea. Is there were some adjustments and amendments made to the trespass statute as well. But the idea is it's on private property. The person lawfully in charge of the private property can tell the person to leave. And if they were to remain, then that would be a trespass. But blocking a public way is for public property only.
Right. And, you know, the title of the offense, you know, the public part only comes in that second subsection. So it's just, you know, an entrance, okay, and then, okay, on which side of the entrance or, you know, where. So that's how.
No, that's fine. I, like I said, that was one that I went back and forth
check
over
on.
In my own head.
Yeah. Good. Anything else? Dave, you want to, you know, it might be relevant to others or.
Yeah, I'm just trying to see. I actually didn't think of that until you said.
No,
know about meeting with you guys until you said we're ending now.
Sure. No, no. Fair enough.
Just let me flip through the mic.
You bet. I think
Alana
might have
I just had a general question about some of the, like, rationale behind, the kind of equivalent to the wall armed provision and like protected person provisions and how sometimes they're kind of incorporated into the statute and sometimes they're enhancements and sometimes they're kind of absent, like burglary in places where I would expect them. And I just kind of wanted to see, I was just kind of curious about the thought. I expect we will have some comments on kind of that, but I was just hoping to get some insight into the thought process behind.
You bet. So at macro level, I guess I would say, you know, one, the thought was, you know, kind of consistent with how most jurisdictions tackle this is to put in the enhancement or, you know, to work into the gradations, particularly when the weapon is used. There will remain a, in fact, we're working on right now, a kind of a more general PFCB-like offense for, you know, something that is short of using the weapon, right? A possessory offense in relation to a crime. Mm-hmm. So that will capture other offenses. You mentioned burglary is the kind of the one main one, really, where it's a crime of violence now, right? And so it kick in for the wild armed enhancement, PFCB, that doesn't have incorporated in a wild armed component or a, you know, something equivalent to that, a use of it. And that's the trick, though, is the use of it, nothing about, you know, burglary, you know, intrinsically requires, you know, any contact. In fact, you know, I think we've cited, there's been some empirical work on this, and it's, you know, single digits, you know, the number of burglaries that involve any confrontation with an occupant, let alone something that's violent. So use, open to that, like, and that's definitely something, as we've kind of looked again at firearm possessory offenses, and again, this kind of PFCB-like alternative that we're kind of working on, is whether to, in burglary, just have, you know, this other kind of, again, PFCB-type offense, or to also have something in the gradations there. And that's something we might re-examine, too. So it's definitely, you know, a place where there current law, national trends, and we would certainly agree, there needs to be some sort of higher penalty, however it's gotten at, for, you know, possession of a weapon in conjunction with a, you know, a burglary. So yeah, that is kind of the one unusual piece, right? The rest are kind of more what we would, you know, they, we call them, you know, offenses against persons. They're more the severe. They're you know, core assault, robbery, you know, etc. You know, sex offenses. Those have them. So that's the general point. Now why not keep these all as general enhancements? Mm-hmm. Is another like kind of like big picture kind of question.
Because in some places they are.
Well, right. I mean, sex offenses is the main. Yeah, there are some offenses which do that for that like group, and part of the concern there was just how this works out, right? Like, in terms of like, if you have the standalone enhancement, is that always piggybacking on other enhancements? You know, can you have multiple enhancements, right? Do these like come together, right? And current law is said nothing about this in statute, right? You know, there's case law that's handled this in some particular, particularly for weapons, you know, oh, can you have a wild-armed enhancement on top of an ADW charge? You know, can you have it on top of, you know, these sort of permutations? We thought that, in general, those get very complex very fast and often escalate, I think, too much, which is to say, you know, a minor crime, a relatively minor crime, a low felony can turn into, you know, a 40-year plus sentence when, you know, when the victim, for instance, meets, you know, certain criteria and it's, you know, committed with a weapon. that's the way it currently works out. And so to contain that stacking of enhancements and the magnification that works through those enhancements, one effect, and note this in the commentary, is to, by having it kind of in the gradations, one, it's clearer kind of how it has effect, and two, it changes then how different enhancements might interlock. The general enhancements that are at the beginning in the general part, like hate crime, right? Like, that applies across the board for everything, right? But some of the others, no. And so those were the considerations, I guess I would say, going in. The one other thing I'd mention is that, particularly with things like ADW, it's like, the current kind of structure reflects, I think, an intuition that's right, and we've seen in other jurisdictions, and, that low-level crimes with a weapon kind of jump in severity quickly, right? Like, ADW is just any assault-type behavior. Simple assault, right? Relatively minor, but it's with a firearm. That has a bigger jump in terms of the severity and the seriousness versus the effect of a gun on what are already very serious harms, especially completed harm. And get to the very top with homicide, it begins to wash out. So it's not an even or consistent effect. And so when you have just one general enhancement, it doesn't take that into account, right? And so it might not do enough at the bottom, and it might do too much at the top in terms of, bumping up. So that's another reason why, particularly with weapons, the ability to kind of fine-tune it a bit more by incorporating it in the gradations was thought to be a useful approach. Again, it's something we see in other jurisdictions, and I think as we are working on penalties, it's something that I think will, again, help the structure we're coming out with kind of mimic more where current practice is.
It also makes me a style point sometimes. So like robbery and assault, whether the victim, say, is a vulnerable person is a grading factor. It bumps it up by one gradation. Mm-hmm. Whereas murder, we don't do that, in part because if you commit what's otherwise second-degree murder against a person who's a vulnerable person, against some, maybe just a style choice, didn't want to have to say, well, that now constitutes first-degree murder, as opposed to saying, like, there's a penalty enhancement that increases the penalty class by one.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it, at least in some cases, there's lots of reasons I went to it. It might have been,
that's right,
in part, yeah.
And we tried to, again, kind of always note how this kind of plays out, right, in the commentary. Part of it is, clarity, organization, it would be technically equivalent to pull it out in a different way, right? Or to plug in from a general enhancement to work it into the gradations. At other places, it doesn't, that would be tricky. It wouldn't apply evenly, and it might allow for beyond what's already allowed, additional ways of stacking. So those are substantive changes, and that's what kind of what we noted more in the report, when that happened. But does that kind of fill out the picture? But
it does. Yeah.
We can get into specifics. I'm sure whenever you comments on particular offenses. But Dave, I see lots of lots of paper flying. And
I'm trying
pens.
To see what we should really talk about.
Sure.
Thing that I want to bring up just to hear your reaction and other people.
Yeah.
Thought, and it really is, in some senses, minor. In the property offenses, we have unlawful labeling of a recording codified between identity theft and financial exploitation, which to me seemed like a rather odd place to put it. And so
Great.
I understand, and I sort of drafted something, and I'm not sure if I'll include it in a memo or not, but I understand why it's in the fraud section, but to me it really looks like it should follow 2105 and 06 that have to do with recording devices and possessions of recording, because I think if somebody was looking for a recording, they wouldn't look for it there. And at the very least, if you're not going to put it in the theft provision next to the other recording stuff, it should be at the end of the section, not in the middle of what otherwise to me seems to flow in a rather logical order.
Cool.
So, that's one of those.
Good.
Can you click on the offense?
The current offense or our
on the
revised?
On lawful labeling.
I don't want to get Janu too worked up here about this offense. Anyway,
as I said, I understand why it's important,
Exactly. So, organizational point definitely taken. This is one of those offenses that
you got two recordings here, one in the middle of something else. That doesn't make sense.
I mean, right? They're both about recordings. The false labeling is more fraud-like.
So
totally got you. Fair point on organization. Was there something you wanted to see in particular, in Katya?
No, I just wanted to see this.
Yeah. Remember what it? Yeah.
To,
okay.
Right. Just think about it.
Don't get Janu started.
I didn't mean to work you up overall.
This is one of those little offenses that, like, you're like, wow, when you address it, then it leads down its own road. You know, on a number of these, too, you know, they're crafted in ways, a number of these, because of federal preemption issues, right? Like, you know, it's just like there's a... So,
this wasn't a comment about it substantively.
Good. Great. What else? Anything else?
I have a non-substantive request.
Okay.
Obviously, this is a tremendous undertaking. We're trying to do a really, really detailed and thorough review. Is there any way we could have an extra week or two of the deadline? Are there any?
Not on this time, I'm afraid. I appreciate that, and, you know, I think we're not able to kind of accommodate that at this point. But, yeah, and, you know, what I will say also, though, is this. You know, in terms of deadlines, my guess is it'll probably end up being the September meeting. Hopefully I will have had a chance to kind of talk a bit more with Kevin. Hopefully going to have a meeting with Codification Council. Anyway, like, you know, just to be able to kind of firm up our kind of overall year ahead sequence and timing of you know, when, for instance, the next, you know, draft on this stuff is going to be up. So for your own internal planning, right, as you think about, right, you know, for everybody, it's, you know, I realize this is a lot of work for everybody, and I appreciate it. And you know, how to allocate your own resources, right, and time. You know, the more I feel like we can give you guidance, just helps, you know, with that. So we'll try to do that. Like I say, my guess is come the September meeting, we'll be in a position to do that. I hope, again, partly as we kind of hit these final kind of stages, that really depends on input from, you know, the council and kind of how they might want to receive it and proceed in 2020. So, thank you. Dave, anything else?
Well, one other.
Yeah.
One of them.
Sure.
Again, one of these where I'm trying to wrap my head around it. I was looking at rioting, 4301, and failure to disperse, 4302.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find it. Yeah, I was curious why rioting is 7 or more people and failing to disperse is 8 or more people. And so I was going to recommend that the 8 be a 7 and that they match, because it seems like those situations can easily overlap, and having a different number for one was not intuitive.
So the thought was, here's the, hopefully it'll make it then seem intuitive, is that in rioting, It's the person is, you know, involved in this conduct with others. So you have a group of at least eight. So seven plus the one. Okay?
Oh, okay.
So whereas with failure to disperse, it doesn't require that the person be doing any. They're just ignoring the officer's order to disperse, and reckless that this other thing is going on. There's a group doing this. So they both.
So it is actually both eight, because the yes. seven
so
or
eight
more
is the group
other
of,
in rioting.
Right. Okay. Right. So that's why it's one off. Now
I,
again,
like, that's fine.
Fair to say that number should be different. Three and four, nine and ten.
No, that's yeah. a, the
but,
where the
but
line
that's
is
how
drawn
it,
is
yeah,
a different
that's how
question.
It lines up. Yeah.
And the jury trial kind of comments, those I know are written as not under review? Or?
Yeah, so we bracketed those, and basically, you know, throughout we've at times put these in for places where, look, without even kind of knowing where the penalty lands, right, there are some that we thought, regardless, even if the penalty is low, like for failure to disperse, that it should be jury demandable. Patrice might remember, but I think that, you know, this goes to some of the counsel statements about, you know, jury demandable for things that affect civil liberties, you know, demonstrations, being around this activity. So that was the pitch. So that is a, you know, we put that specifically in there without even kind of looking yet at penalties. Now, will this end up being anyway a 1 year or more penalty? I don't know. The point on this one, it was where we inserted it, it was just that, like, regardless of the penalty, we wanted to flag that our recommendation would be that it is jury demandable. So that's what was going on.
Is it fair to say that if we commented on that in other places, it would not be a premature comment?
No, that's fine. That's fine. And I think, like, look, on all this, like, you know, jury demandability is, like, definitely going to be an issue, right? You know, and, you know, it'll be clearer kind of with penalties how all that kind of comes together. So,
my understanding was mm-hmm. if it was bracketed, we need not yet have commented. I skipped over jury demandability and some other things under the impression that it wasn't ripe yet until
sure.
we got to the penalty stuff. The brackets would then come off, or the provisions would be added or removed, or whatever.
You bet. That's
and
fine
then
too.
It would be ripe for
I'm sorry if that was confusing the way it's.
No,
it's
no.
Been
I
there,
I skipped everything bracketed.
That's fine. That's
there have been some comments in the other direction that we've already addressed. Mm-hmm. So I know that in this last review, there were some comments from PDS asking for inclusion of that bracketed language for certain offenses, and we responded to those comments explaining why we were not including the bracketed language there. So,
yeah. No, I don't have a problem with anybody commenting on something that's not yet ripe. I just don't want to miss an opportunity, because all I was saying is, if it's got brackets, I skipped it.
You bet.
I mean, I read it, but I didn't comment.
Yeah, and again, we have not gone through, and again, you know, There may be many, you know, this will get, I think what we've said before is this will get reexamined in conjunction with penalties. But, you know, on this one in particular, you know, I think that's right. This would, I think our recommendation will be kind of regardless of the penalty to have a jury demandable because of the civil liberties interest at issue. Good. Other? Good. Okay, anybody else? Great. Okay, hearing none, we'll call it a meeting. Thank you all, and